1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Notice verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've taught to us, Lord, and what we've been allowed to learn, and sometimes maybe just be reminded of. Maybe we already knew, we just needed a reminder. I know that this has helped me, Lord. We've made some adjustments, Lord. There's others that we're going to firmly implement. Lord, I want to thank you for not just allowing me to teach the Bible, but teaching me the Bible, helping me. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, each and every one, every single person, Blessed Baptist Church, that we would get our financial house, Lord, in order, that we would make sure that we align things to the Scriptures, and, Lord, that you then please would help us. I pray for maybe a handful of families that have really gotten themselves in some difficulty. And Lord, I would pray as their preacher that you would show them mercy. Lord, as they make real positive steps, real life steps to try to get their financial ship uprighted, I pray, Lord, that you'd be merciful and generous to them and reward them according to their obedience to your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me start out by talking about a couple of things that might help you as you get your finances closer and closer to the place where you are actually beginning to deal with an abundance. One of the things that I think that each and every one of you would be wise to consider is to have a savings account. I will tell you, and you know this, most of you that have lived any amount of life know that there are things that you just can't budget for. There's things that it's just hard to know. And so if you have a savings account that you keep a certain amount of cash in, when you do have unexpected things that come up, and I'm not talking about catastrophic, I'm talking about just things. If you have a savings account and you don't just spend everything that you get week to week to week and never set anything aside, then it will be there for you and it'll help you. And you'd be surprised if you just get in the habit of doing that. And if you spend some out of it, purposely work to build it back up. And make sure that you have a little bit set aside. Also, let me encourage you to learn to pay, instead of paying off something, pay forward on things. Let me say it again. Instead of paying off something, borrowing the money, buying something, borrowing it, and paying it off on time, why don't you take that same time and pay forward into a savings account, make the payments so that you are accumulating the cash, and then go out and wait till it's accumulated and buy it forthwith. It's going to save you from paying any interest on it. And so pay forward on things, okay? You get in the place where you know you're going to need a new vehicle. We're kind of there right now. We know somewhere in the time frame, God's been gracious. I keep going out, laying my hands on our van, saying, oh, Lord, please. It would be great if we could see this thing get 700,000 miles, but I kind of doubt that that's going to happen. So there's going to be a point in time where So what you do is, as much as possible, plan ahead, begin to work ahead, pay ahead. And that's one of the advantages of getting your finances and such, where you begin to have an abundance each month. Yes, there's a lot of things that you want to do with that abundance. There's nothing wrong from time to time doing something nice for you and your family, or getting a want, as long as you check with the Lord and get his okay on it. It's nice every once in a while to take a little abundance, say, Lord, you've been extra generous to me. I'm going to be extra generous to you, and give towards missions a little extra, or some other project a little extra. Those things are all good. But I would encourage you, for your own family, to have some kind of a safety net where you have that. Let me say also, and I think I mentioned this briefly, but men, let me just say to you, and I'm not a financial genius. I'm not a financial advisor. There's people that are much more expert in this area than I am, and I would encourage you, if you've got real questions as far as nuts and bolts and things, but I would encourage every man. This is something that I did very early in our marriage, and really when we probably weren't in a position to really afford it. But one of the things I just felt as a husband I needed to do was provide a safety net for my wife in case of an untimely death. I want to make sure my wife and family are taken care of. There's a lot of, again, different opinions about this, but if you don't have a whole lot of money, you say, Brother Jerry, I'm already strapped. I'm going to tell you, term life insurance is at an all-time low right now. Anybody of any age, especially the younger you are, the better, you can get a large amount of protective life insurance on you if something were to happen to you. And I'm talking about if you're in your 20s, I'm going to throw something out. I may be ballpark, but if you're in your 20s and in decent health, you can get, $300,000, $400,000 worth of life insurance for less than $20 a month. Well, that's not very much a month. That's just a few stops at McDonald's a month to provide your wife with a sense of security and protection if something happens to you. Oh, well, Brother John, I'm just going to live by faith. Well, I know a lot of people that are living by faith, but when the time appointed comes, it's appointed and the man wants to die, and I don't know what God's timetable for me is, but I know this. If something happens, I don't want my wife to be sitting there with no income nothing to pay next month's bills with, and I want to not only make sure that she's able to pay off everything connected with my demise. I don't want her excited about it, but I want her to be able to pay it off. But also, I don't want her to have to rush right out and get a job. I want her to be able to be maybe not set up for life, but to make it so that she has a timetable where she can. Now, do that for your family. Do that for your wife. Do that for your kids. Make sure that they have that security blanket. And there's just some things that even when we couldn't afford, I felt like we needed to afford, and I made whatever cuts we needed to see that she had that. And so, again, I just felt like I ought to mention those things. All right. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. And I'm going to put this microphone on. On. There we go. How's that? Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, good. We're going to talk about the second hole that's in the bottom of our treasure chest. You say, Brother Jerry, I have borrowed some money and I'm already implemented some of the things that you taught last week as far as paying it back. Now, but I still have to pay interest on this money. Yes, you do. And that's one of the consequences of borrowing money is that you not only have to pay the money back, but you have to pay interest back on the money. And so, is there some things to help with that? There sure are. If you have money that's been borrowed that's on a high interest rate, I would call your creditors and I would ask them if there's any possible way to reduce that rate. You'd be surprised sometimes just with a phone call. I'm not talking about transferring money. I'm not talking about switching to a different card. I'm talking about just calling the debtor you owe and say, you know what, I'm paying 14% interest on this. I'm just telling you it's a hardship. I'm asking to talk to somebody who'd be willing to work with me. Is there any way we can get that down a few points? You'd be surprised how much a phone call makes. By the way, I won't go into detail about this, but I had a man in our church this morning come to me and say, Brother Jerry, I'm going to tell you, I did exactly what you said last week. I took every bill. I called every person that we pay a monthly bill to, and this man was able to get a monthly bill that he'd been paying every month for some time with a phone call and a few adjustments. He had that monthly bill lowered by over $100. Now, have you called anybody yet? Have you called anybody yet? If you don't get proactive, if you don't decide you're going to do something, then everything's going to stay the same, okay? And so call your creditors and, well, $100, that's a month. That's $1,200 a year. That's pretty good. That's one bill. I'm not saying you can do that on one bill, but if you called everybody, you might accumulate that much or more. Take that money then, put it on the principal of somewhere you owe, and guess what? You're on your way to getting it paid off a little quicker. All right? If possible, if you have credit card debt especially, if possible, switch the balance of high interest credit to low interest. Well, I got a company, they won't work with me, and I'm paying a card, and I got it 18%. Well, shop. I'm going to tell you, it's a very competitive business. And if you can take a card and money off of a card, and you can just simply transfer it, this can all be done with a phone call, and you transfer it to another credit card that is 8% or 9%, you were paying 18%. Well, folks, that's going to save you a lot in interest. It's going to help you because the more money you're sending them, you've got more of it being applied to principal and less to interest, okay? Pay extra on house payment. Those of you that are dealing with a mortgage and you have a mortgage, boy, and I think a lot of you know this, and it's been taught, and it's absolutely 100% true. If you would just increase your house payment a little bit, every extra amount that you pay on your house payment, if you add $50 a month to it, $25 a month to it, $20 a month to it, and you do that, every extra bit of money that you send on your mortgage goes to your principal. And the more that you're paying off your principal, the more you're taking off the end of your loan. For instance, we took our mortgage out 15 years. We decided to pay a certain amount extra on it because, and it wasn't absorbent. I think a little over $50 extra on each mortgage payment. And because of that, instead of paying off our mortgage in 15 years, it'll be paid off in 12 years. It took 3 years of payments off just adding a little bit of money to your principal, to your payment. So if you've got a house payment, let's say your house payment's $525 a month, okay? Let's just use that. I just pulled it out, $525 a month. Send them $575 consistently. Send them $560 consistently. Just go ahead and bite the bullet and send a little extra, and you'll be shocked at what that does on the end of your loan, okay? Paying interest on borrowed money. Beware of credit consolidation or second mortgages. A lot of times we get a lot of things going. We've got a lot of different things we're sending out monthly. We've got this accumulated debt. And boy, the ads are on TV and they're on the radio. And man, just make a call and let's get all that put under one umbrella. You go to the bank, hey, we'll give you a second mortgage and you won't have all of these problems. Be sure you do your homework on that, please. Do your homework. Most instances, it's better to go ahead and just do what we said, target the smallest amount owed, get that paid off, go to the next one, get that paid off, and do it short term and bite the bullet than it is to take all of those things and put them on a long, drawn out 10-year or 15-year second mortgage. You need to really do your math, because if you do that, it may lower your payments and may take some pressure off, but the amount of interest you're going to pay over the time is going to be much increased. So all I'm saying is do your homework. Know what you're doing. Know what you're getting into. A lot of times also, these companies that want to help you by doing that, they will do that. They'll consolidate it, but they'll have some kind of a flat fee for doing it. It may be $500. It may be $1,000. Well, if you're paying them $500 or $1,000 to do this for you, I don't know what you are saving in interest, but you just paid a big chunk of extra money that you wouldn't pay if you just are doing it. I'm not saying it's never a good idea. I'm just saying please do your homework and be careful about what sounds like sometimes quick fixes or easy fixes, okay? Now we're going to go to number three. What's the third hole in the bottom of our treasure chest? Impulse buying. Impulse buying. Say, Brother Jerry, I don't have a problem with that. Okay, let's find out. All right, let's find out. Here's your assignment. And if you don't think you have a problem with it and you're in denial, this is a good way to wake you up. All right, take a little small notebook, a little spiral notebook. I'm talking about a pocket-sized one, and just say, all right, I'm going to make myself carry this for the month of February. And I am not allowed to reach in my pocket, reach in my purse, reach in my billfold, and take a dollar out and spend it anywhere without writing it down that I spent it. I'm talking about every time you're at the gas station, you're going to write it down. Every time you stop at McDonald's, you're going to write it down. Every time you buy a pack of gum, you're going to write it down. Every time you get a can of pop, you're going to write it down. And you know what you're going to figure out? That we all probably, to a certain extent, are guilty of impulse buying. And so it is something. Now, and again, I'm not against little treats along the way, but I'm telling you this, listen to me. If you owe a bunch of people a bunch of money, you don't have a right to spend their money on luxuries. I said you don't have a right to spend their money on luxuries for yourself. Folks, this impulse buying adds up. Well, it's only, brother, I stop and get a pop here, it's only $3 or $4 a day. $3 or $4 a day. $3 a day is $90 a month. $90 a month for your Mountain Dew habit. your Hershey candy bar habit, your cappuccino habit. That's $90 a month. You know, you're the same one that says, well, here he's talking about abundance. Well, we don't have any abundance. How can we pay extra or have a savings account? $90 a month. $3 a day. Okay? Be careful of that. Impulse buying. Impulse buying. So how do I stop that? Don't forget what I'm going to say next. Impulse buying is an addiction. Okay, so we're going to have a IP meeting, or IB meeting. Not an AA, an IB meeting right now. Some of you ladies need to stand up and say, my name is, say your name, and I'm an impulse buyer. No, I'm not. Well, that's why you're not going to get over it, because you're in denial. Now, you're an addict, but you don't want to admit it. Oh, we laugh at the girls, but us guys probably are worse a lot of times. Amen. Come on. I mean, impulse buying. Folks, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked at how much money just goes through our hands just because we didn't go in to buy it. We don't really need it. We see it. We decide we want it. Next thing you know, we pay for it, and we do that over and over again. It's an addiction. Now, I'm especially talking, again, some of the things I'm going to suggest may seem a little extreme, but I am dealing with addicts. Okay, when I spent all those years in inner city Chicago, I got well acquainted with addicts of all kinds. Addicts will lie to you, they'll lie to themselves, they live in a fantasy world, they're in denial all the time, but you know what, that didn't make the problem go away. Now, some of the things I do say and am saying, it may seem extreme to some of you, but honestly, if you've got a problem and you're not winning this financial war, you need to listen to your preacher. Now, if you got things under control, one of the blessings of having things under control and being on the top side is that you probably can do a few more little things, extras along the way. But if you owe everybody in the world, you don't have a right to. Folks, I think I said this once before, but when gratitude turns into expectation, we're in trouble. Remember when a treat used to be a treat? Now, we think... We got kids that are mad at their parents if they walk in a gas station and aren't allowed to walk out with something. They are mad screaming to the car. They're not thankful for an occasional treat. They have an expectation that it's owed them to be bought something. You know what? You need to spank the little living daylights out of that kid. You need to get that mindset changed. I say this, and it's true. You know, and kids, I'm not just trying to, but man, we need to go back to a world that was a lot simpler and we were a lot more grateful for things. You know, we didn't walk into this, every time I walked with mom and dad in the store, we didn't get something. You know, we did if we weren't good. We got and right in the store, back in those days, they didn't care. You know, there wasn't those 800 numbers. They just line you out right there in the aisle. But I can still remember. You know, we'd go to church on Sunday. On the way home, we'd stop by the drugstore. Dad would go in and get a Sunday paper, and he'd take us all in there every Sunday, most every Sunday. When I was growing up in Brazil, he'd take us. And you know what? We were allowed to go in to Hook's drugstore in Brazil when Dad bought the paper. And that was the one time a week we were allowed to go over to the candy aisle and buy. Everybody could pick out a candy bar. And I'm going to tell you, it was a big deal and one of the hardest decisions of my week. You're standing there, you know, you're nine, you're looking, and there's just, I mean, there's everything. And you know, Dad's, all he's got to do is pick up a paper, so he's ready to, come on, let's go, pick something. He's putting this pressure on me. I can't deal with all this pressure. Look at all these candy bars. Look at all the different kinds. I've got to think about what's in them. I've got to think about how big they are. I've got to pick them up and compare them. I've got to weigh them. Man, I'm only going to get one shot at this, you know, until next week. And it was devastating. It was hard, week to week, just trying to do that. We had a little corner store down from our house, so I don't know, mile and a half from our house. I don't know. So back then it seemed like 10 miles, but it probably wasn't all that far. And every once in a while, you know, mom would, aren't you glad? Moms, we never had a whole lot, but mom always seemed to have somewhere stashed a little bit of change for us. And every once in a while, we'd beg and.
in a summer day, and she'd say, all right, she'd get us all out a nickel or a dime and put it in our hand and say, okay, you guys get on your bikes, drive down the corner store. We'd drive down there, and same thing, man, stand behind the counter and all those penny candies. And back then, penny candies were actually a pretty good deal. You know, I mean, you'd get 3 for a penny, 2 for a penny, different ones. And, you know, a nickel, man, you'd sit there. And that patient old man that worked in that store, I want to see him. I hope he's in heaven one day, because we must have drove him crazy, you know. I'd say, all right, I want one of them. He'd put it on the counter. And I'd think, okay, I'll take 2 of them. Put on it. No, take that one back. I want that. I mean, you know, it was a 20-minute transaction to spend a nickel. But you know what we did? If we wanted more than that, it was nice to be able to buy a pop, but you couldn't buy candy and pop for a nickel. So what we would do is, instead of going straight to the store, we would ride a long country block around, and on both sides of the road we'd drive, and we'd look for pop bottles. Remember those days? Boy, weren't those the good old days. And we'd drive along, and we'd look for pop bottles. Now, back then, pop bottles were glass, not plastic. I'm trying to help some of you. And people would buy them, and when you bought a bottle of pop, you didn't just pay for the pop, you had to pay for the bottle. But if you brought the bottle back, they give you your money back. When I was starting in the business of pop bottle hunting, bottles were 3 cents a piece. And so we'd check all of the ditches along the way. You know what that's called, folks? It's called creative resourcefulness. Yeah, honestly. Isn't it nice to learn something that simple, that early in life? If you only got so much money, but what you want costs more than that, you can borrow from your sister, which is worse than any bank. I mean, you don't want to be there. You don't want to go there. You think you get harassed by creditors. If you've ever borrowed from your sister, get out of here. So, or you could say, I'll use some creative resourcefulness. So we would look at that. We'd all work together. We'd find the pop bottles. We'd find maybe 8 or 10 pop bottles, cash them in, 3 cents a piece. Boom, man, we've got extra money. Now that guy's going to have to stand there longer while we got more money to spend. Are you getting this? You see what I'm saying? Now, what I'm saying to you young people is, every time mom and dad stop and you walk in with them, you don't need something. Stop whining. Let me give you this. Stop asking. Stop asking. You don't need something. I mean, do something amazing. Walk in a store with your mom, walk out, and have nothing in your hand except what mom went in there to buy. And you know what? Let mom and dad feel like that when they do something for you, it's a treat. Be thankful instead of being expectant. Be glad when they do instead of mad when they don't. Okay? All right, so impulse buying, it's an addiction. I don't know how I got on that. Allow yourself a set amount of spending per week and pay with cash. Now, the best way to eliminate impulse buying is to have only the ability to buy with cash. Now, I'm talking about addicts, and I'm talking about people that need to get a hold of this. This week, decide I'm going to have so much spending money, and when that money's gone, that's it. And so you've got so much spending money to get some things, and when that money's gone, that's it. If it's Tuesday and it's gone, guess what? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you don't get to buy anything till next payday. If you don't have the cash, don't buy it. Okay, and that's what we go back and talk to you about. Credit cards and even sometimes checking accounts can be to the point where it's just too easy. You know, you see something, you didn't come in to get it, you haven't thought about it, you didn't pray about it, you just see it, next thing you know it's in the shopping cart, and you're trying to figure out, because you don't have the cash, how you're going to pay for it, and then next thing you know, we've got complications. So allow yourself a set amount of spending per week. Pay with cash. This is going to seem extreme, but I'm going to promise you this is one of the best things you could ever do. We get a Sunday paper, and we get a Sunday paper for years and years and years. Me and my wife didn't have much extra at all. You know what we did? We reached in, took the center section of it, all the ads, folded it up, put it right in the trash can. No use looking through it. I didn't have money to buy anything anyway. Now, I know that some of you ladies, you use those things to shop around. We're going to talk about that, buying wisely, comparing prices, coupons, all that stuff's good. But if you've got this addiction, what you need to do is stop giving yourself opportunities to see stuff and build desires for stuff If you hadn't have seen it in that thing, you wouldn't have thought about even needing it. That's why they advertise. And so I promise you that's true. By the way, don't let your kids look through those advertisements anyway. Mamas, can you help me here? Do I need to say anything else? No kid in your house, I don't care how old he is, needs to be flipping through advertisements. I think mom gets those. Mom looks through them if she wants to. If it helps her to be wise in her spending, and then they go in the trash. Amen. Enough said. Well, pull the Gander Mountain one out. Lay it on your husband's recliner, okay? One of the most important things that you can do is this. We all kind of got to the point where here several months ago, we about got forced into it, didn't we? I mean, I don't know what happened at your house, but all of a sudden when gas was $4 again, I'm like, honey, I don't know how many times we're going to town a week, but we need to all get together and figure out what we need to go for, and let's make the trip together because we can't do this. Probably make more trips to town than you think. I don't like going to Terre Haute. Well, let me tell you one of the reasons I don't. Because when I go to Terre Haute, I spend money. I'm just telling you, when I go to Terre Haute, I spend money. It's just hard to go to Terre Haute and not spend some money. Now, I don't mind going to Terre Haute if it's planned. I enjoy going to Terre Haute. I go once a week at about the most, unless I'm going for a hospital visit or something. But me and my wife go Thursday mornings, and we don't have a date night. We have a date morning. And we get Tabby off to school, and me and her go up there. And that's our time together. We go to IHOP, and they have something called breakfast specials. Little cheap menu you can order stuff off of. Okay? Or, honestly, with the size of portions nowadays, my wife will confirm that I'm telling you the absolute truth. More times than not, we buy one breakfast and split it. Just because she doesn't eat a whole lot and I don't need to eat a whole lot. And we enjoy the time together, and it's not so much about the food as it is the time we get to spend together and talk over stuff, and it's great. Folks, you know when you go to town, you're going to spend a certain amount of money. So the less trips you spend to go to town, the less times you go. Now stop just going to town because you're bored. I would plead for you to listen to me. Home's not that bad of a place. Some of you are runaholics. I mean, you can't stay out of your car. The more trips to town, the more gas you're spending. More trips to town, when you get there, the more stuff you're going to buy. Well, why are you going? Well, I'm bored. Why are you going? Well, I need to get this. And you know what? It took you 20 minutes to think of something that you really needed to go get, and that the truth is, you're just an addict. You don't need that. And by the way, you don't need it right now. You can get it on your one trip to the grocery store that week. But I'm telling you, folks, run and run. We've got teenagers that absolutely do nothing but run constantly. I mean, all they do is run. All they do is run constantly. And I'm not talking about they're going to a job. I'm not talking about their case. I'm talking about they can't stay home. They don't know what it is to stay home. That's ridiculous. Amen. I'm feeling that John the Baptist syndrome again. Amen. These things need to be said. We're just burning up money and burning up gas, and just because we are not content to stay home and enjoy time with our family and find out that home's not such a bad place to be. So you don't need to run. Reduce trips to town. This will help you probably more than anything else. We do it. I do it. My wife does it. We shop from a list. If you just show up to the grocery stores, ladies, and you say, don't have any kind of plan, and you just grab a cart, and your plan is, I'll just wander up down aisles, and anything that I see that I'm reminded of we might need, I'll throw in there. That's not a good way to shop. And so shop from a list. Make a list before you go. Go through your cupboards. Think of the meals that you're going to plan. Write down what you need. And you know what? If it's not on the list, and I'm not talking about sometimes you see something and say, oh man, I should have put that on the list. I forgot. I'm talking about just extra stuff, extra junk. Shop from a list. Okay? Stop impulse buying.
go, oh, okay, you're going to go to Terrell, and you do have a list, and you do need to go. Okay? Then go only to stores necessary to purchase wisely the things on your list. Let me tell you where a lot of money goes. You've gone up there, you've got what you wanted. Well, while I'm up here, I think I'll stop at this place, and this place, and just look around. Okay? That's expensive looking. Okay? This is a great question, and we'll go on from here. Impulse buying, though, folks, we're spending a little bit extra time on it, but this is probably one of the areas that more money is going out than we can even understand. And so you got to be very careful. Don't ask, can I afford it? Ask, can I do without it? And I think a lot of times it's just a frame of mind. Well, brother, I got these extra things, but I can afford it. So what's that prove? That's still not a very smart reason to buy something just because you can. So stop saying, can I afford that? Stop saying, do I really need that? I'm going to tell you, once you get in the habit of doing this, and it happens to me a lot, I'll pick up something, and I'll about talk myself into it, and all of a sudden I think, you know what? I don't really need that. And I'm saying I had the money in my pocket. But it's amazing how many things, folks, man, Madison Avenue is good. They're slick. They've got us to the point where we're doing subconscious buying. And we're just seeing, we're reacting. It's been tested. Folks, it's a science. They know how to do it. They know the colors to use. They know the place to put it. They know the scheme. They just, you know how much of a challenge it is just to walk in a store as a normal human being with a list, get the things only on that list, and get back to your car? I'm telling you, this is part of the culture. It's part of the system. It is an addiction. It provides a temporary high because we got something, but that high don't last very long, and the repercussions, of course, are devastating. Now, eliminate unwise spending. We're talking about impulse buying things we don't really need. There's sometimes that we are going to go shopping for things that we do need, but we don't use much wisdom in buying. So let's just hit some very basic things. Price check all items before purchasing. Price check all items before purchasing. And a lot of times what you can do is just to eliminate unwise spending is be sure that you do a price check. Now if you have the internet, a lot of times you don't have to. You say, Brother Jerry, if I drove to three different stores and to compare prices, by the time I spend the gas, the little bit I would have saved, well, a lot of times you can do comparative prices just online. And I'm talking about on maybe a little bit more moderately or bigger ticket items. But be sure and price check all items before purchasing. Moms, if you haven't done this, let me encourage you to take your young ladies grocery shopping with you. Train them how to do it. Train them how to compare brands. Train them how to compare prices. Train them how to prepare quantities compared to prices. Train them, train them, train them. How do you do that? You take them with you. You're saying, okay, now I'm going to. Now this one's yours, by the way. This one's yours. Peaches. We need peaches. Now I want you to look at everything. Well, I don't know how. I'm going to teach you how. But let's work through this together. And then once you teach them and train them, they'll get to the point where they can walk over. I mean, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids ought to be able to walk over, intelligently look at several different brand names, items, price compare, quantity compare, and pick up the best deal. We've got 18-year-olds that don't even know what I'm talking about. Okay? And so check price check all items before purchasing. This is just called being diligent. Coupons are a great thing. And some of you ladies, I would encourage you, take the extra time. It doesn't cost you any time. Most of the time, they're free. If you take the time, you'd be surprised how much money you might be able to trim off of your budget just a week on coupons. Be careful of hidden charges when you're buying something. This is services. You know, all of those advertisements on TV that swear that you can get this for only $19.99 a month. Let me ask you, what's your bill say now? Okay? Always check. Always ask questions. Always ask the hard questions. No full price before purchasing. Watch for hidden charges. This is a good point here. Don't confuse cheap with inexpensive. How many of you have ever done this where you said, you know what, this is a better deal here than this. This is more inexpensive than this one, so I'm going to save money and buy this. And a lot of times what you end up doing, if you buy something that is cheaply made, it's not going to last. So you also have to factor in quality. It's just not a matter of buying the cheapest thing of the choices available. If the cheap one's not going to last, it's better to spend a little bit more and have that thing around for a couple years or long term than it is to try to save short term and end up having to go buy a new one anyway because it broke. Okay, so just remember these things. That cheap isn't always the way to go. The cheapest. Eliminating the devourer. Okay, we're getting through this pretty quickly. All right. The devourer I'm talking about, folks, that's one of the holes that I think is in the bottom of a lot of Christians' treasure chests. And the devourer is simply this. If you do not give tithes and offerings, one of the things God says is that he will allow to be unleashed upon you the spirit. I think it's an evil spirit called a devourer. And what that thing does is it eats holes in the bottom of your money bag. It attacks a water heater and doesn't let it last as long. It doesn't let a car last as long. It doesn't let a washer last as long. Let me just give you this, and I pray that you'll really, really believe me. But you do tithe. And give offerings. But some of you are getting no credit up in heaven for it. And you're dealing with a lot of heartaches and a lot of things you can't figure out. You know, one way or another, the Lord's not going to let you keep the tithe. Now, you need to believe me on this. And God's probably not just going to take the tithe. He's probably going to enact some punishment on you. Some judgment's going to come your way. And so, don't play this game with God. I'm pleading with you. Don't play this game with God. Brother Jerry, it doesn't make any sense how 85% can go farther than 100%. Well, it may not make any logical sense, but I guarantee you, 100% guarantee you that it's true. Okay? So be faithful in tithes and offerings. If you don't, then the devourer is going to take a lot of your things. Here we go. Ding dong. And that's all I have to say about that. Well, I don't tithe, but we pay our school bill. Tithe on all the increase. Did I mention this the other night? I think I did. All the increase. Well, Brother Jerry, that just seems a little extreme. Why does it seem extreme, to be honest? Okay? How many would like to have some unexpected increase from time to time? Okay, then tithe on it. And you know what? God will look at that and say, wow, you know what? Every time I bless them extra, they tithe and give extra offerings. I think I'll just keep blessing them extra. By the way, Mr. and Miss Stingy, how's life going? Sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Folks, it's a Bible principle. Okay, I'm not talking about foolish. I'm talking about be generous with the Lord, and be generous in investing in the Lord's work. And not only do you protect yourself from the devourer, but tithe on all the increase. Okay? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Eliminating the devourer. Now let me give you the last one, number 6, and this will be it. We'll finish up our teaching. Preparing for calamity. Now, Brother Jerry, I'm trying to get all of these things in a row, and I'm not saying I've done it all perfectly, but I'm tithing, and I'm trying to get my treasure chest, and I'm working hard, and I'm trying to be creative in resources, and I'm praying, and I'm trying to just take out for what I need to take out to show God some biblical responsibility. I'm trying to plug up some of these holes, and in the middle of doing all of this, boom, all of a sudden,
when the kids get sick, they end up in the hospital. Our insurance cover payment only, our insurance only covers so much. All of a sudden, boom, just about the time I think we're just about to get to the place where we can breathe and have a little thing, boom, all of a sudden I've got $8,000 worth of medical bills. Here we go. You know what that's called? That's called a calamity. Okay? Does it happen? Yeah. Is it real life? Yeah. Don't tell me it hasn't happened to you. If it hasn't, I'm going to begin to pray for you real hard right now, because you might be next on the list. It's just life. Okay? Well, God's just mad at me. God's just not mad at you. Not if you're being obedient, doing your best. It's just that God sometimes allows a time of testing to come into your life because he wants to see how you're going to react. Now, a time of calamity, financial calamity, comes in, an unexpected, I'm not talking about something that you can just run over to your little savings account and, man, I'm going to tell you this, if you've got one, it's sure going to soften some of the blow of this. But I'm talking about something that, okay? Let me say this, folks. God, even in good Christians' lives, obedient Christians' lives, just sometimes those things happen. God is doing it for a reason. He's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He's going to teach you to live by faith. Now, our first reaction when these things happen is all of a sudden we got these massive unexpected bills, and we start being, we're very tempted to forget all of the Bible principles we just learned and go out and use man's resources and end up digging ourselves even deeper. Okay. Now, let me give you a few things that will help you. All right? Okay. First of all, I promise you this is important and it's good. When a calamity, a financial calamity comes in my life, the first thing I do is stop and say, Lord, you know what? There may be some reason that you're trying to get my attention and I want to do some self-examination. Now, I don't think God's being mean. I don't think God's being unfair or unkind. I just think sometimes I know me, and maybe the Lord's trying to get my attention in an area. Okay? And so that's fair. Lord, are you trying to teach me something? Lord, are you trying to show me something? By the way, if you're not tithing, he is. Okay? I can just tell you that right now. If you're not tithing, expect another calamity, because there's one around the corner. And you're going to say, now I'm even deeper in the hole. I sure can't tithe now. Okay, don't. But there's another one coming. And then after that, there'll be another one. And you know what? God's going to keep rubbing your face in it till you stop being disobedient and wicked and decide that you're going to honor God with the first fruits of all your labor. And then he's in a position where he can start extending mercy and starting to plug some holes and rebuke the devourer and get this thing turned around. I said it before, and I'm going to say it one more time, because I don't teach on finances a lot. But if anybody ever came to me and said, Brother Jerry, I'm having trouble with finances, my first question is, do you give tithes and offerings to your local assembly? If your answer is no, I'll say, you need to. If you say, well, I'm not going to, then I'll stand up, and I'll be kind, and I'll reach over and shake your hand, and I have a word of prayer with you. And I'll say, I'm sorry, there's absolutely nothing I can do to help you. Because there is nothing I can do to help you. If you're not willing to deal with that, and you're not willing to be obedient in that area, every other financial principle in the Bible gets taken off the table until that gets squared away. All right? Is God trying to get my attention? Yeah. Yeah, that's been true in my life. By the way, sometimes we want to say, why did God let that happen? Sometimes a calamity is self-inflicted. Did I create this crisis? If it is, guess what? Better take a look at it. What did I do? What should I have done different? Learn from it. Then go on. Go through the process of fixing it. Learn a life lesson. Yeah, you're going to have to work extra. You're going to have to pick up another side job, get it paid off. You know what? That was dumb. Okay, chalk one up to experience. It's called the school of hard knocks. And you know what? We've all been there. All right? Sometimes it's self-afflicted. Let me encourage you. I mentioned a few minutes ago about life insurance, but I really believe that as much as possible, folks, in different areas, catastrophic insurance is important.
a lot of what happens and a lot of what is bankrupting people today is because of the out of control. By the way, they're out of control because they're driven by greed. The medical costs today in this country is crazy. I will tell you this. The cure is not for the government to take it over. But that's a whole different issue. But I'm going to tell you, probably the thing that gets people in a pretty deep hole quicker than anything else is some kind of a medical setback. I mean, boom. I mean, it can be a minor thing. Get in, get it fixed. You weren't in there that long. You get the bills. You have got to be kidding. By the way, robbery in the daytime. Absolutely ridiculous. No excuse for it. Corporate greed, individual greed. Absolutely the only explanation for it. People don't want to make a living. They want to make a killing. And they're doing it on the backs of the average person, and it's just wicked. Nehemiah dealt with it amongst the children of Israel. It's unpatriotic. You know what? Let me just say this. We can't fix and control all of that, but make sure you're not doing it in your life. Okay? If you offer a service to somebody, then charge a fair price. Make a living. Make a profit. But you don't have to make a killing off everybody you interact with. Matter of fact, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. So be very careful. Treat people as fair as you'd want to be treated. Okay? If every American would do that, wow, we wouldn't have the problems we have. Catastrophic insurance. Now, I've done all those things, and everything I can, and all of a sudden, Brother Jerry, I've tried everything, and you know what? Boom, it happened, and now all of a sudden, we've got $15,000 worth of medical bills. Now, listen to me, folks. Remember how God puts money into your treasure chest. There are and have been times, and probably still will be in the future, where we accumulate some unexpected high bills. And you know what? I've tried to be diligent, and I've tried to save, and I've tried to plan ahead, but sometimes, boom. And you know what you do? You take them out, and you spread them out before the Lord. And you get on your knees and say, Lord, I don't want to break Bible principles in caring for this. I don't want to yield to the temptation of going against Bible principles in order to pay for these things. I need divine provision. I need a miracle. You know what's the nice thing about being a tither is that you can come to the throne of grace and yeah, you're not tithing. I'm just telling you. You know what God's answer to your prayer is going to be? But honestly, you've tried to tithe, you've tried to get offerings, you give to missions, you've tried to be generous with the Lord. You've tried to seek God's will, you've tried to use good common sense. Boom, all of a sudden. I'm not saying you do everything perfect, but boom, all of a sudden, here you are. What are you going to do about it? You get on your knees and you say, Lord, listen to me. I need a miracle. Now, a lot of times what we want is we just like the next day to be able to have this wonderful testimony of going to the, you know, mailbox and we pull out a check and there's $12,000 that this old, you know, aunt we had, we didn't even know we had, a great aunt that loved us even though we didn't know her, and died and sent us $12,000. I mean, you know, and every once in a while you hear a story like that, isn't that great? I wish I had stories like that. You know what I found out God does? A little here and a little there. Got to do a little something extra for us here and say, wow, you know what? I know why God did that. He gave. Listen. Even in that, God is testing you. You got $12,000 you owed. All of a sudden, a week later, unexpectedly, you get an extra $100. Watch this. Let me tell you what most Christians do. They'll take that extra $100 and they'll say, well, I need $12,000. I don't need $100. I got $100 extra. Tell you what, let's go do this. And you blow the $100. Now, 2 months from now, you're going to be crying to your preacher, well, I prayed to God. I prayed and he didn't answer my prayer. I've been praying for the $12,000. I tried that and God didn't answer prayer. He probably did already a couple of times. But you won't take the stinking extra he gave you, whether it's $5 or $50, and put it on the $12,000. So he tested you. You won't do it anyway, so why should he give you any more? See, we want the $12,000 in a lump sum. God says, let me just test you out a little bit. Let me just see what you'll do. Okay? Most of the time, this is what my daddy told me when I was in college, and he was right. He said, son, most of the time when you're short of money, it wasn't that God didn't give it to you. He did. You misappropriated it. Thanks, Dad. I needed to hear that. Because you know what? He was right. Most of the time when we're facing a crisis, God has already been giving us the money to prep us for that crisis, but we can't stink and learn to be content, live on a budget, say, God, I'll spend this much and anything extra I'll set aside, or I'll save, or I'll be generous with to you with. But we, you know what? Most of the time, we've already had it run through our fingers. All right? Okay, mistakes. All right, that's in the past. All right, you can't do anything. You still got $12,000. All right? Okay, learn from it. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I'm asking for $12,000, but if you'll give me $12, I'll put it on this bill. Well, that's not going to make a difference. Yeah, it's going to make a difference in heaven, because God's going to learn that he can trust you. And so let me encourage you to do that. Now, watch this. A lot of times we just want God to hand us something. You got $12,000. Go to God and pray like this. Lord, I've got $12,000 that I owe that I did not expect to owe. And Lord, I don't think it's anything foolish that I did. It's just one of those. It's a calamity. It's unexpected. It's just, I know you're testing me. Now, Lord, if you could provide some of this and just give it to me, that'd be awful gracious of you. But Lord, if you could open up a possibility where I could work some extra and earn some, I'd be willing to do that. Or Lord, if you could give me some creative resourcefulness, some ideas of how I could make a little extra money, whether it was a matter of purchasing something and selling it for a profit or something. Lord, whatever it is, you know, folks, sometimes God does not want us to overcome an unexpected debt just by having the money handed to us, just through answered prayer. Sometimes he says, work a little extra and be diligent and think. You need $12,000. Think. I think one of the lessons that you will learn, let me just encourage you young men, one of the lessons that you can learn from Luke chapter 16 in that parable is to make friends of unrighteous mammon. I would encourage a young man to talk to men who are biblically, financially successful. And be careful how you approach them. But just tell them, you know what? Could I have 10 minutes of your time? Now, if they're smart, they'll charge you for it. It's probably why they're successful, you know. Most guys will be generous and give it to you, but you ask for a man's time, you're asking for his life. His time's worth something. But a lot of guys will just help you out. You know what? I sense that your Lord's blessed you, and you seem to be pretty wise when it comes to finances and careful and generous to the Lord. And, you know, this is my financial situation, and this matter of what Pastor Eric keeps talking about with creative resourcefulness. I'm not asking you to do anything for me. I'm just telling you, help me to get my mind thinking like that. And learn a way to think. Learn a way to think. Okay? And I've kind of tiptoed around that, and I'm going to probably not, because I think there's some things you need to dig out. You need to learn. Okay? So, that's it. I think that blank screen means we get to go home. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have just a quick time of invitation. And I know this has been more of a teaching than a preaching. It's not the type of thing where you come to the end and necessarily draw people to some great decision, but I would ask that you be tender to what the Lord would have taught you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you give us wisdom. Please, Lord, give us wisdom and teach us and help us. And I do pray for those that maybe just even in the last year or 6 months have faced some type of financial calamity. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to follow the steps, learn the lessons, examine their lives. I pray, Lord, that you would answer their prayer and be generous with them and helpful to them. I pray that there would be brothers and sisters in Christ from time to time that would be aware of the fact that sometimes the reason that God gives us an abundance is so that we can see a brother that's destitute and in need and be a blessing to them. I pray, Lord, that you would take all the Bible principles we've covered and put them together in our hearts and help us to be better stewards for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.